Blog Talk Radio.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can seem intense. Like breakup R&B intense.
I thought you said you love a sweater that I got you. If you didn't, you could have told me.
Geico makes it easy. Just go to Geico.com anytime to update or check your policy without all the extra drama.
I even had a gift receipt.
Closet Christianity. Why are you hiding, Christians? And where are you hiding? God can certainly see you. Do you think because it's dark, God can't see you? Tonight on Pathways to Truth, we're going to go on in to the Christian closet and turn the light on these roaches. Stay tuned. Good evening. Welcome once again to Pathways to Truth Radio. I'm your host, Nick Danger. Joining us on a special Sunday evening edition of Pathways to Truth, my brother, my partner in faith, Brother Frank Billions. Brother Frank, welcome to the show this evening.
Hey, great to hear your voice this evening, Nick Danger. Man, we getting ready to turn the lights on these Christian roaches, man. But yeah, man, welcome to the show, everybody. I feel some little bit of excitement in the air, Nick. So I'm gonna try to calm down a little bit, man, because I want to make sure that I stay focused, man, so we can get the word of God out.
Oh no, man, no need to calm down, man. We the word of God says where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Yes, sir.
And part of that liberty means freedom. And, of course, freedom in the Lord is, all I can say is that I'm free. You get that on the way home, everybody. Okay, so Brother Frank, we have been planning this show for quite a while. This show was originally scheduled for April, but, you know, the Holy Ghost has his way and kept moving stuff in front of it, and it fell to August, which is fine. So the timing of the show is perfect in light of all of this craziness that is going on, and I want to take some time to talk about what the Holy Spirit showed me, what that there is a dynamic that goes on with the closet Christian, that there's a parallel, listen to this now, there's a parallel paradigm, meaning there are two paradigms running concurrently together to create this closet Christian. The first paradigm is counterfeit. The counterfeit Christian evolves into the closet Christian. Okay, now that don't make much sense right now, but it's gonna make all the sense in the world by the time we get off the air tonight. Okay, let me here's the foundation. Just we've been talking about how the church has been silent on social issues. Anything that matters, the church is silent because the church is trying to protect the money, the church is protecting the profession. It's protecting these cowards and these perverts that are going in the pulpits, and it's also protecting the 501c3. Okay. So the social conscience of the church has been silent where it was once a political force against the spirit of darkness and a very strong proponent of resistance to injustice. Okay. The church was originally, and all of its members, intended to be a change agent in the earth realm, targeting evil and wickedness at every level of destruction. Not just to be disruptive, but to destroy the powers of darkness. Number two, the church and all of its members were originally intended to protect those in our society who are unable to protect or defend themselves. Remember, you know, people always run to the civil rights movement, but there were several movements before the civil rights movement where the institutional church, going all the way back to Frederick Douglass and W.E.B. Du Bois and all of these gentlemen, and all the way back into the 1800s, where they protected the poor and widows and the sick and the naked and homeless and prisoners, and created societies, newspapers and businesses and industry, neighborhoods, economic development, and so on and so forth within the entire community to protect and to support economic growth, the promotion of families, and the protection of our women and children. Okay. Lastly, the church has been devalued along with its members. Now, this is a hard word tonight. I said counterfeit and closet Christianity run concurrently. The church has been devalued because of its focus on the dissemination of the gospel and its diluted message, which has failed to captivate and motivate men, husbands, in parentheses, all right, and then keep our young people engaged and enthusiastic about the things of God. All right. Lastly, Brother Frank, I want you to come in after this. So you see the counterfeit Christian has all of these characteristics, which are contrary to what God had created us to be. And because he is counterfeit, these characteristics force him into the closet. These are the same characteristics of any man or woman who is not authentic in what their intelligent design was for them to be. Brother Frank, you see it every day. We talked about this before. With it working in the bank, every teller, they either have lights or pens or some type of verification system to determine a counterfeit dollar bill. You just can't hand a teller or a bank manager a whole bunch of cash, anything north of a 20, they're going to check it out.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And they generally hold it up to the light.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so there's a lot there. I know I said a lot. I'm going to stop and let you come in to help me tie this together.
Yeah, man. Hey, man. I mean, you're right on point with that. One thing that we realize as believers and kingdom citizens is God is the God of light. And what light does, light exposes things.
Yes.
So God want the folks to realize that when you think that you're in darkness, there is no darkness in God. So you fooling yourself thinking that you can hide.
Yes.
He's an everlasting light. There's no darkness in him, so everything is exposed to him. So what I think, Nick, man, when we came up with this topic, closet Christianity, man, I started looking at the folks, man. I said, man, you know, it's funny how, you know, as believers, man, we can look at this stuff and somebody can actually think and trick themselves and believe that they can hide from God. They actually believe there's a closet place that they can go to and be in secret.
Yes.
Well, just to piggyback off the opening, what you just gave us is that I think, Nick, that it's about time, man, for us to let the closet Christians know that God has a branch of government service that conducts secret investigation, especially regarding espionage. It's time for us to let the Christians know, man, that God has a way of exposing the counterfeiters, man. His plan is already intact with them, man. The counterfeiters can't slip by God. See, it is this government service to apprehend closet Christians. Nick, because the leader of this government secret service is the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Man, I mean, the counterfeiters, man, are running rampant. I mean, they think can't nobody see them. I'm just gonna go ahead and just right off the bat, instead of saving us for last, man, we just gonna go in right off the bat on them, man, and just say, you see, as a believer, we know there is no such thing as a secret in the kingdom.
Right.
See, that word does not exist in the kingdom mindset. That word doesn't exist. When you go to the kingdom dictionary and you look up secret, it sends you to, it says, see mystery. See, there is no secret in the kingdom of God. There's only mysteries. But see, mysteries are not secret. They are just unrevealed to you. They are there for you, but they just being unrevealed. You just hadn't gotten the revelation on it yet. It's no secret, though. But how you find out about mysteries, you got to come in Christ. The mysteries are in Christ. You got to come in him to get them.
Yes.
They're available to you. They're not secret. They're available to you, but you got to come in Christ to do it. But Nick, the Christians want to hang out with the world, man, and do it the world's way.
Yes.
And they want to do it the world's way, and I know that God sits on Mount Scopus, and he's scoping out everything. Look, God is sitting on Mount Scopus, and Mount Scopus looks down on Mount Zion. Okay, if God is seeing everything that's going on Mount Zion, Come on, man. You know he said everything else.
Yeah.
He got his eyes on the believers.
Yeah.
The believers represent Mount Zion. God has got his eyes constantly on the believers, so come on, man. He's seeing it all. But, Nick, like you said, man, them counterfeiters.
Yeah.
We're gonna see if we can kind of expose some of this stuff some more tonight, man, as we go through this show, man.
Yeah, that is just a wonderful. That's just a wonderful segue in terms of the perspective of God as he looks at this situation. And the fear people have, because most people associate the closet Christianity with evangelism. It runs way deeper than that. Way deeper than that. Because
yeah.
Evangelism is the outpouring of the love, the relationship, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You cannot evangelize anybody if you don't have the Holy Ghost in you. If you haven't been baptized with fire and baptized with the Holy Spirit. Those are not my words. Those are Jesus' words. Okay, so evangelism is not what you say as much as what you do.
Mm-hmm.
People get caught up in the tracks in Romans 10. Okay, look, I'm going to read Romans 10 in context.
Go ahead.
Because it's taken out of context, because what Paul was saying in this chapter, let me say it this way, what Paul was saying in this portion of the letter, okay, was that we need the gospel. I'm going to stop there for a minute.
Okay.
He said, we, now he wasn't singling himself out.
Right.
He didn't say y'all need it and I don't.
Yeah.
What I'm saying to Pathways to Truth Radio Nation is that we need the gospel, not preaching, not the entertainment that goes along with Sunday and Tuesday, Wednesday night, or whenever y'all have your Christian service. I'm not talking about the money lines and the laying on the hands and the sprinkling the water and throwing coats and spitting at folks and blowing on folks. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Paul said, you got to have the Holy Ghost in you, period. Okay, now, that's the foundation. Here we go. So he says, it's my heart desire and prayer to God for you, that you may be saved. This is Romans 10 and 1. Brother Frank, listen, we don't never hear this, man.
No, man.
We don't never hear this. Paul said, look, he said, yup, look, brother. Now, this is critical because he wasn't speaking to people who were saved already, yet he called them brethren. This is a beloved term used by people that can only be used if they have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Because Brother Isaiah said, you won't serve somebody if you don't see them as your own flesh and blood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. He said, I bear witness, as Paul was talking, that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. We're talking about closet Christians now.
Mm-hmm.
They have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. I'm going to say that in plain English. Christ is the end of yourself and your own foolish ways to try to solve your own life. And the only way to regain control of that life, I'm talking about the life in Christ, is to believe that he is the Son of God. I'm almost done. For Moses writes about the righteousness, he says this, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. What did Moses know about faith to be writing about? He says that the man who does those things shall live by them. The man who does those things shall live by them. He said, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. For what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart, the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Brother Frank,
wow.
here's the killer. Here's the clicker right here.
Go ahead.
Okay. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay, here's the order. I know y'all are going to get upset with this, but this is the gospel I'm talking about here. Confess comes before belief. The mouth precedes the heart. That's in Deuteronomy. Okay, what am I saying? I'm saying this. The outward expression of Jesus is seen in the demonstration of the love in the walking out and serving mankind in the marketplace. Listen, if you are not serving man in some capacity in the marketplace, you ain't saved. No. Yeah, I just read it to you right here. I just read it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done, Brother Frank. Come on.
Nick, man. I mean, that just clears up why Christ Jesus continued to walk out for us righteousness, and to help us to realize as believers in him and to be Christ-like, you have to be promoting righteousness.
Yes.
See, evangelism, you was right on point, is what you do. Christ want to get you to the point where you just being, so it's all about doing and being who you are in him. But see, the reason why evangelism is what you do is because righteousness is all about what you do, not what you say.
Yes.
See, that's why he says in his word that the kingdom of God is in word. I mean, is not in word, but in power, meaning that it's in the demonstration of it.
Yes.
You just can't talk it without walking it. See, once I realized that my kids didn't care anything about the Word of God, they just cared about was I walking out in front of them, what I was saying, was I doing it? See, the witness to our kids as parents is what you do, not what you say. Okay, I hear you saying that you're a Christian, but what I'm seeing you doing, you don't look like a Christian to me.
Yes. That's good. That's it. That's exactly what Paul is saying right here. He said, righteousness is who you are. He said, righteousness is who you are. You said it is what you do, and it's who you are. He said you become righteousness. You must become righteousness.
Yes.
Listen, you can't be, Brother Frank, you can't be righteousness in the closet.
No.
You can't be righteousness in the closet. Man, come on, that's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. That's why he said that, see, in the kingdom, mystery does not carry the idea of a secret to be withheld, but to be published.
Yes.
See, our lives is not private. It's public knowledge.
Yes.
See, when you're walking in righteousness, you don't mind the public seeing you. Look, man, the believers do not mind the world knowing about their past because that ain't who they are no more. It's not private knowledge. It's public knowledge. Christ wants you to realize to be at peace and have liberty and to walk out this life in righteousness. If you say, if you come to me, this is Christ, if you come to me, I'll clean you up and I'll make you whole.
Yes.
And I'll take your sin and I'll put it in a basket and I'll put a heavy lid on it and I'll dispatch two of my angels to come and get that basket of sin, and then out there take that basket of sin off to a place where no one else knows. The place is called oblivion. And they are sitting on a pedestal, never to be opened up again. That's what God will do with your sin. He will absolutely take your sin away, clean you up, and put it in a basket, and take it to a place called oblivion. So you can walk in righteousness, Nick.
Yes,
and you can do it with a clear conscience.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, what a God we serve.
Hey, you know what? I just heard something, because see, that's the difference between a secret and a mystery.
Yeah.
See, Colossians, the book of Colossians tells you all about the mystery. I don't want to take it, steal your fun. I want to let y'all go read it for yourself. The book of Colossians will tell you what the mystery is we're talking about. All right. Now, secrets, that's Satan's domain.
Yes, sir.
See, here's the profound difference. I'm going to make it easy for you. A mystery, okay, is designed to be solved.
Wow, that's good.
I'm going to say it again. A mystery is designed to be solved. A secret is designed to be hit, never to be revealed. See, that's called deception. But Satan operates in secret because he don't want you to know who he really is. Christ says, I will tell you who I am, but you got to want it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. You have to want it, man.
Yeah.
You have to want it. But what have happened, Nick, is that we have allowed the church, okay, to paint a picture of a small private interpretation of who God is.
Yes.
See, because of secrecy, they think that Jesus came to bring peace on earth and to die for everyone so that we can go to heaven and live happily ever after. See, when I started realizing it, Nick, I was like, no, that is the picture of that Jesus that in my mom's laundry closet, when he's standing at the door getting ready to knock, the white Jesus that's standing at the door getting ready to knock at the door, that is the picture of the Jesus that the closet Christians are looking at.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about that Jesus. That Jesus is the closet Christianity Jesus.
Yeah.
That's not the one I'm talking about. The one I'm talking about is that Jesus that John Fuego the Baptist said that was in the beginning with God and was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That is the Jesus I'm talking about right now.
Yeah.
Okay, for the believers, that Jesus right there, he helped me to understand that Christ did not come with a Bible in his hand. He came with a sword.
Yeah.
He didn't come with a Bible. He came with a sword.
Yeah.
See, what most of them don't know is Christ came to divide and not bring together. Christ came not to bring peace on the earth. He came to separate the sons from the fathers, the daughter from the mothers, the daughter-in-laws from the mother-in-laws, the son-in-laws from the father-in-law. He came to bring a dividing line between them. Oh, okay. That's why Brother Matthew says, therefore, whosoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetop.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
See, we have been fed the wrong interpretation of who God is, man.
Yes.
And what he represents. So we trying to be in the closet, hiding from our wives, and we hiding from the wrong person.
Yes.
You trying to sneak around on your wife, and you are not even afraid of God.
Yes. That's good.
Man, I got to say this, man, because I thought about this, man. You see, Nick, in your book, The Belligerent Christ, you taught me this in your book, that the belligerent Christ conduct brings disgrace or offense to the doctrine of men and their religion.
Yeah.
That book, The Belligerent Christ, helped me to realize and to recognize, look, man, you better walk in righteousness.
Yes.
You better walk after the truth, man. And not only did you do that, then you had the audacity to write your book, A Wolf in Wolf's Clothing. So, okay, now you gave me belligerent Christ, now you gave me a wolf in wolf's clothing. Okay, and then in that book in chapter 2, in your book in chapter 2, I was like, man, this brother Nick, the Holy Spirit had this brother to say, there is a mass incarceration of the Christian mindset.
Yes, thank you, God.
Man, what a revelation. What a revelation, man. Nick, there's a mass incarceration of the Christian mindset, and Satan has used the church to do it.
Yes.
Look, so much so, we got closet Christians have adopted the ways of the world, not knowing that there are no secrets and there are no secret charges in the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Hey, Brother Frank.
Yeah, man.
I want to tell you something about secrets.
Go ahead, man.
Okay. All right. See, this is the thing that really tickles me about when we talk about the freedom. I emphasize this because I was coming back to this. Me and Fuego always joke with Brother Fuego. That's, we have an inside joke about being free. We say this all the time around Christians all the time.
Yeah.
they don't get it. It's a mystery to them.
Yeah, it's a mystery.
They think it's a secret. Okay.
Yeah.
Look, he said, I didn't get what you said when you first told me you was free, because it sounded just like the same thing that the Christians say. But the difference is, I saw the manifestation of your freedom in your walk.
That's it.
See, because the Christian is in bondage, mentally, spiritually, solically, okay, and physically. He can't move.
Yeah.
Okay, he's paralyzed spiritually. He's paralyzed. He's a spiritual quadriplegic. How about that? All right. So what the Wolf Pastor does, I just saw this today on YouTube, okay, the Wolf Pastor has to go through different packs because, you know, they can only stay in a pack for so long. Once they get to a certain age, they either going to challenge the alpha male or they got to leave. So T.D. Jakes, every 4 or 5 years or so, he recruited new another level of football. Remember when he had Deion Sanders and Michael Irvin at all of the manpower stuff when they was playing, because they were still getting paid a whole lot of money. After they retired, he phased them right on out. Now he got Ray Lewis from the Baltimore Ravens. Okay. He's the keynote speaker at all the stuff, because they use the football player, the gladiator, as male prototype. Okay. These guys are bigger than Jesus.
Yes, sir.
So since they're bigger than Jesus, they are effective for the closet Christian.
Yeah.
But for a believer, look, man, stay in the football analyst booth.
Yes, sir.
When you start talking about Jesus, you getting way out of like your lane. Because if you're still talking about tithing and naming and claiming and declaring and decreeing and all that kind of foolishness, you're in the closet.
Yeah.
It's and being free, you can see that a mile away. Hey, man, look, it's comedy to me. Those Juanita Bynum, T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar, those guys are comedy. They're comedians.
Yes. Yeah.
I have.
And,
go ahead.
And with along with that, see, the closet Christian will never be able to see what you are saying right there, just as long as they stay in it. You see, you got that right there. You got to come out. You got to be able to come out of your situation and look back at it.
Yeah.
And see how comical it really is. See, but while you were saying that, I thought about this, Brother Nick. I was thinking about the mindset. And, you know, some of the closet Christians have used this dark mindset to meditate on how not to look Christian. Okay. See, this is not a cheap magic trick. Brother Nick, this is black magic.
Yes.
See, black magic is magic used for evil purposes. Or sorcery. Now we getting into demonic realms. See, God is saying that I have to expose your secret sins because black magic is involved. Sorcery is involved. Witchcraft, warlocks, it brings those guys out. And they just tarnish the mindset of Christians. So Nick, there are scores of spouses, right, that are closet Christians. Put this out now. That are trying to fit in with their non-believing husband or their non-believing wife.
Yes.
There are closet Christians are privately holding in their true feelings about attending church with the non-believers just to satisfy their husband or just to satisfy their wife. These type of closet Christians are sitting up in churches and Bible study talking about all the non-believers in the room, including the pastors and the deacons and the trustees and the associate ministers. These closet Christians have to just sit there and be quiet and act nice and appear they are involved or enjoying the service, but I'm here to tell you that you are not alone. There are many closet Christians sitting up in churches like that.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Brother, see, go ahead.
No, take your time. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay, I saw this, big bro. I saw this. Most spouses bow down to the non-believing ways of doing things instead of God's way of doing things, because believers know that their non-believing spouse will leave them alone in order to assemble with their non-believing church family.
Oh boy, that's a mouthful right there.
Look, man, what most of the closet Christians don't want to do is offend or be an offense by telling their spouse the truth. Well, if you are this Christian, you are not being Christ-like. If you are afraid to offend the religious mindset, you're not being Christ-like. Because Christ Jesus, in the Bible, he's known as Scandalon. He is an offense. He is an offense to religious folks.
Yes.
He offend non-believers with the truth, because the truth is an offense to justification. See, most Christians try to justify all their actions. See, they justifying why they having all these babies out of wedlock. It's a justification for that. It's a justification for, you know, why I'm cheating on my wife or I'm cheating on my husband. I can justify that. It's a justification why I'm not submitting to my husband. You know what I mean? I can justify that. Well, justification is not holiness and righteousness. Jesus will absolutely damage a trustee or deacon's reputation. Jesus was the one, Brother Nick. Jesus was the one that kicked all them jackleg finance team members out of the church. if you are ex finance team member of the church, good for you, because I know you got your lashes from Jesus' whip.
Yeah.
And boy, that whip right there hurt. Look, that whip that Jesus used leaves scars.
Yes.
Look. Know this though, closet Christians. The church, look, don't you ever think the church threw you out or that you just stepped down. No, Christ whipped your tail day in and day out until you bow down to get out of there.
Yes.
See, how can you answer to the Father for being a part of wrongdoing with the church finances? You can't do that. God's watching you. You know that. You can't sleep. You can't eat. You can't do nothing.
Right.
You're a believer in the midst of these closet Christians.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Brother Frank, my goodness, you are on a tear. The Holy Ghost showed me, I was asking him about, this door.
Yeah,
I said, listen, this closet, who's got the key? He said, well, it ain't my son. It ain't my brother. He said, Satan has the keys to the closet. He said, because the Bible says Jesus has the keys to the kingdom.
Yes.
Jesus can't have the keys to the kingdom and have keys to the closet, too. See, the closet is reserved for Satan's kids.
Yeah.
Okay, look. Brother Paul just told us who they were. Y'all go back and read. I know when y'all go to church next weekend, they make the altar call. The only thing they're going to read is Romans 10 and 9. But I just taught you today that it ain't about, he says salvation is about righteousness. And Paul gives you 9 verses before that show you whether or not you even qualify for salvation. Hey, listen, man. What's the bad thing? One of the main problems about being taught this salvation message is that there are qualifications, and it's a process. You ain't saved that Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, the best analogy I can give you is a hockey goalie or a soccer goalie. When either somebody shoots the puck in hockey or they try to kick the ball in soccer and the goalie saves or blocks the kick or the puck, the game is still going on. There's still an opportunity for the enemy or your opponent to score.
Yeah.
Okay. What I'm saying is, you say, I'm ready to receive Christ as Lord. Goalie blocks the kick. But you gotta know Satan's still trying to kick that ball through the net.
That's right.
What I'm saying is that you might say I'm saved in the second period, and you still got another whole half to go. What I'm saying is that you got to stay in the game, and you got to stay diligent. You got to stay in shape. You got to study the plays. You got to work with your teammates. You got to know the plays, what the coach is telling you to do. So that you got to know your position. You got to study other goalies who have come before you and done great things. Listen, I know this is a strange teaching tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember when Jesus came under persecution? It was the church that left him to send for himself. The cowards scurried away to the comfort and confines of the first century closet of the upper room. That's right, I said it. The upper room is where the apostles were hiding when the Roman garrison went looking for the followers or the disciples of Christ.
Yeah.
I'm saying, Brother Frank, the history is once again proven the overwhelming majority of Christians to be cowards and hypocrites.
Wow.
Too many Christians are ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Too many have submitted to the prevailing spirit of corruption and perversion and caved into the spirit of tolerance and entitlement. We are being terrorized by homosexuals. We're being terrorized by non-believers. We're being terrorized by political systems and financial systems and every man of racism and sexism and everything else, and the church is silent. You don't love God, I'm telling you, all you folks who are gathering on Sunday. You don't love God. Stop playing. You don't love him. You don't represent him. You don't represent the kingdom. That's all I got. You can bring us on home, Brother Frank. I'm through.
Hey, man. I'm gonna wrap it up, then.
Go ahead. You wrap it right on it.
That word right there is why I can say I can forsake the assembling with the non-believers. that word right there. See, as a believer, there is no way non-believers are going to listen to the kingdom way of doing things. So why is a believer trying to go into the midst of non-believers and trying to express to them the kingdom way of doing things, especially when it comes to the finances, do you really believe that the closet Christians care about the poor, the widowers, the fatherless? No, they don't care about that. Look, man, you are a believer. You take in your poor mother who's a widower and she's fatherless, and God did not allow not one church member to help you financially. Why is that, though? Because God's children do not need the non-believing world's help. God do not need your non-believing siblings' help. See, when you take in the poor, the widows, the fatherless, and this is a kingdom matter to God. See, this is what pure religion is. This is a kingdom matter. So the world is not allowed into kingdom matters and the kingdom business. So don't be upset at your siblings because they don't want to support and help you. They don't supposed to be wanting to help you.
Yeah.
They don't know the kingdom way of doing things. See, pure religion absolutely offends religious folks.
Yeah.
See,
yes,
how I know this is that Christ damaged the reputation publicly and disgracing the traditions of the church.
Yes.
He do it publicly. See, the belligerent Christ, it's nothing for him to call you a pretender.
Yeah.
It's nothing for Christ to call you a hypocrite. Listen, man, God sees everything. You're deceiving yourself if you think you are hiding in the closet. That's all I got, man.
Hey, brother, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the divinity in you as always. I thank you for our listeners. I know that this word will permeate your spirit if you allow it to. I pray that you go to the word and seek it for yourself. Again, the only mission we have at Mandate Ministries is to point you to Jesus. Tune in next week, Pathway to Truth Radio, Perversion of Gospel Music. The Perversion of Gospel Music. Oh, that's going to be a good one. Have an awesome week. Be strong, believe in yourself, and don't be afraid. Peace and blessings.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.
Every day, there are so many missed business opportunities.
Sorry, left that file on my work computer.
So many barriers to working together.
Sorry, can't access that file on my phone.
But today, Microsoft Office 365 offers lots of new features to help you be productive anywhere. like editing office files on phones and tablets, easy one-click video conferencing, a free terabyte of secured cloud storage.
Sorry, really? Wow, that's awesome.
Go to tryofficenow.com to start your free 30-day business trial of Office 365. That's tryofficenow.com.